Hello, this is Marc Imbert speaking, chief editor of the European Respiratory Journal. In the December issue of the ERJ, we are truly delighted to publish important evidence-based guidelines from the World Health Organization for a public health approach to the management of latent tuberculosis infection in low tuberculosis burden countries. Today, one of the authors of these guidelines will discuss with me on some important take-home messages. I'm thus very happy to start the discussion with Professor Giovanni Battista Migliori, who is ERS Secretary General and Director of the WHO Collaboration Center for Tuberculosis and Lung Diseases at the Fondazione Maugeri in Trastevere, Italy. Hello, GB.
Hello, good morning, Mark. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm very honored.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure. So my first question will relate to another important document published last year in the ERJ on TB elimination. Are both articles linked together?
Yes, this is a very interesting question, and the answer is yes, they are absolutely linked, and they have been expected since a long time. Elimination is defined as a condition in which we have less than one case of tuberculosis per million, and this is preceded by a phase called pre-elimination, where we will have hopefully less than 10 cases of tuberculosis per million. Now, interestingly, if you imagine to do mathematics on or a formula to define these two situations, the elimination and the latent infections, to link them, we can see elimination as the sum of TB control plus management of latent tuberculosis infection. What is control? Control is rapid diagnosis and effective treatment of infectious cases in order to reduce transmission in the community. So this is the control. And to reach elimination, we have to add one piece, that is the management of latent TB infection. That means proper and systematic diagnosis and a treatment of latent infections has to sterilize the pool of infected individuals from which new cases will originate. So this is how the two documents are connected. In order to reach elimination, then we have to add the latent infection component to the control one in order to have the big result.
Excellent. So I'm very pleased to hear that your community is very ambitious. And what is the background of these two documents?
Historically, we have excellent data, probably no other disease have such good data, global data, which measure the effects of our control strategy. WHO has just released the new WHO Global Report for 2015 that reports the figures for the preceding year. And it is clear that the control effort till now produced a decline in the incidence globally that is in the order of minus 2% per annum. So if you look to the figure deriving to it, we see the slope is declining very slow. It's not flat, but it's going minus 2%. It's not much. But in Europe, we had, following the Second World War, a decline. This was also in North America, that was in the order of minus 10% per year. And this resulted a lot also from demographic changes, socioeconomical changes, improvement of living conditions, and things like that. There is evidence in the Eskimos from studies in the late 60s and early 70s, in which this decline was in the order of almost 20%, 17, 18%. And this was due to a very aggressive approach on latent infection. They created mobile teams flying there and diagnosing and treating latent infection in these, scattered populations. And they achieved a reduction of incidence that was initially very high, of the level of more or less 20%. Interestingly, the concept of TB elimination is based on the assumption that we are able to increase the current slope of decline of incidence from minus 2% to something around 17-20% per year. And this is estimated to be possible in two phases. The first phase is to apply the new NTTP strategy, focusing on what can be done now, using the best tools we have now, GeneXpert for diagnosis, the new drugs, and achieving universal social protection and universal care, free care for everyone. And also, it is expected that this speed of decline of the incidence will reach by 2025 an additional speed related to the introduction of a new vaccine that is more or less waited for this time, together with a point of care test for diagnosis of infection and disease, and a better regimens, shorter, very efficacious and safe, both for TB disease and for TB infections. So if this will be possible, then we will achieve, hopefully, prelimination, so less than 10 cases per million by 2035, and elimination by 2050. I would like also to mention as a background that ERS had an important role in this, because ERS are co-organized and funded with WHO the consultation in Rome in 2014 in July, that opened the way to this elimination document that was published very recently. And also this was a kind of essential background for these LTBI guidelines that have been just published by the European Respiratory Journal. So the ERS had a very important role into this.
We are very proud to be part of this very important exercise and mission. So what are the countries asked by the WHO to apply the recommendation included in the two documents?
Very good. The of course, requirements of the countries are different, because the TB elimination focus in the, let's say, countries with lower incidence, and particularly those with an incidence of less than 10 cases per 100,000. This includes a club of about 30 countries, usually are rich countries, but there are some exceptions. For example, there is Cuba, that is a developing country, and it's in one of the best positions. They applied control so well, so consistently, with simple interventions, as to reach the same epidemiological situation of countries who have many more economic possibilities. But interestingly, in the top position, we have the United Arab Emirates, and we have Puerto Rico, and then we have the United States. So this says that, of course, the bulk of it is Europe and the North America, but we have also other countries, which include some Latin American countries, includes, for example, Bahamas, Jamaica, but includes some countries of Northern Africa like Jordan, and includes also Israel and Gaza. So those are countries in which the epidemiological situation is favorable, and it's a market of about 130,000 cases per year, where still there are 10,000 deaths per year, corresponding to 30 deaths a day, and in which about 600 MDR-TB cases are notified every year. The market for the application of the WHO LTB I guidelines are the 113 high or upper middle income countries with less than 100 cases per 100,000 population. Those are largely the countries of including North America, the large part of Latin America, Europe, the large part of Asia, not including India, but including China, and some countries of Northern Africa, not including the Sub-Saharan Africa. So much larger market. Interestingly, the main difference here is that the management of LTBI, that means diagnose and treat latent infection, is seen in this scenario where elimination is not, let's say, in the focus, is seen as an individual intervention for patients. So individual patients will benefit from the intervention of having been treated for latent infection. The countries which are targeting elimination should apply consistently this approach in a way to achieve a public health result out of it. So if we can approach the vast majority of the infected, then we will sterilize the pool of infected. This is basically the difference between the two markets and the interaction that two markets have.
Okay, so what are the categories to be screened for LTBI and treated?
The WHO has performed a great approach and have identified categories, risk populations to approach. There is a strong recommendation of systematic testing and treating this category, although everything is based on usually low quality of evidence. This is because we don't have many real trials that allow to demonstrate this. But anyway, the categories for which the WHO recommendation is strong include people living with HIV, adults and children, which are contacts of pulmonary cases, patients initiating anti-TNF treatment, patients receiving dialysis, patients undergoing organ transplantation, and patients with silicosis. The recommendation is conditional in prisoners, health workers, migrants from high-burden countries, homeless persons, and illicit drug users. There is also a conditional recommendation that is much, much lower in importance that can be considered by countries, which include patients with diabetes, alcohol abusers, tobacco smokers, and people underweight. In some countries, for example, like Mexico, in which 40% of TB cases have diabetes, of course, targeting diabetes people makes full sense. They are also creating, let's say, TB diabetes clinics. So they use diabetes clinics as a screening point, enter point for the screening.
Thank you. So what are the recommendations for LTBI diagnosis and treatment?
For diagnosis is simple. WHO is recommending the tuberculin skin test and or the IGRA testing, with the recommendation also that the IGRA test in low-income countries is not adequate, but not because it's not adequate, but because it's expensive. But the countries which can apply it are, of course, entitled to use them. The advantage of the IGRA testing over the tuberculin skin test, apart from the evidence available on sensitivity and specificity, is that the positive IGRA is not influenced by the BCG vaccination that still majority of high and middle incidence countries are applying. So if, of course, we do a PPD to a vaccinated child or person, we are never sure whether a positive MANTU means previous vaccination or a real infection. And the IGRAS allows to overcome this. This is the main advantage. In terms of treatment, there are several regimens that have been recommended. The 6 months or 9 months regimen with isoniazid alone, and those there are trials from the late 60s, early 70s, the big union trial and so on this. The very interesting 3 months weekly regimen with rifapentin and isoniazid. This is short, is effective, and there is recent evidence that this works. But not in all countries rifapentin is available, is registered, and rifapentin is very expensive, but seems promising. And then there are other regimens that some countries are using, and those voted by the majority of the panel members of the LTB guidelines, which are the 3 to 4 months isoniazid plus rifampicin and the 3 to 4 months rifampicin alone. There is less evidence on this, but some of the countries are using it.
So, GB, a last question. Can LTBI treatment produce additional drug resistance?
This is a very good question because it's an issue that is systematically raised when this is discussed. Let's say the answer is no, because the condition to create resistance is that there is active development of the bacilli. Bacilli should duplicate, there should be replication, active, like in the disease, because resistance is originated by millions of, you know, divisions of the bacilli to get the mutation that brings the resistance. So typically with LTBI, with latent infection, the bacilli are in a dormant stage, so they do not duplicate. The possibility that resistance occurs derives from a human mistake, that is not being able to exclude properly disease and treating as a latent infection, something that in reality is a disease where the division of bacilli, the replication is going on. So this is a result of human mistake, and if guidelines are properly applied, then this will be minimal because a certain proportion of human mistakes are unavoidable.
Thanks again for this most interesting discussion, and congratulations to the WHO and the many authors of these guidelines, which will be of major importance in the fight against tuberculosis. This was Marc Imbert, chief editor of the ERJ, discussing today with Professor G.B. Migliori, ERS Secretary General.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, G.B.